Well, hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today and his band Letters to Cleo have just released a really great new Christmas EP called OK Christmas, which has some great covers on it and an original song. So please welcome from Letters to Cleo, guitarist Mike Eisenstein. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
When it came to my attention that you guys were doing a Christmas EP, I was all in. You know, my wife will tell you I have an unhealthy obsession with Christmas music. So now, you guys been back together full time for almost 4 years now. You had the Back in Nebraska EP. Why follow it up with a Christmas record?
Well, the plan was to follow it up with an LP of original music, and. When you say that we're back together full-time for 3 years, we're actually back together part-time. We all have other full-time things that we do, be it in music or other fields. So we have, you know, limited time where we get together and work. And the sort of songwriting schedule for the LP just kind of fell behind enough that we were not going to get it out in 2019. And we were like, we would love to release something in conjunction with our November tour. And Stacey Jones, our drummer, was kind of just like, can we do some Christmas music?
When in doubt. This is the first time you guys have, dipped into the Christmas pool. You had, the Christmas song, which popped up on When Did We Do That, back in 2008. So, I mean, are these just kinds of songs you guys have always had fun with over the years?
Well, not specifically. We've always had fun doing covers, and, whether it was in our early days live, we would always throw an oddball cover in, even sometimes a completely unrehearsed cover in the middle of a show.
Well, sometimes those are the best ones,
Yeah. So we would always have fun doing cover songs, and eventually kind of like a lot of our notoriety became around some of our cover songs. So we've always liked the challenge of trying to do other people's music and like trying to take our concept, arms down and put it in the context of something that everybody knows. So Christmas specifically, no, but we've always liked doing other songs.
Well, and one thing that I mean, first of all, I really enjoy this EP. It's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. And one thing I like about it is the songs you do cover, it's not the same songs that you hear every band do every year. So, I mean, how'd you guys pick which ones to cover?
Well, like, I think it was three of the four of us, like, right away brought up Father Christmas. So that was kind of on the list. And it's similar to the kind of songs that we do and like. It's right in our sound. So that was an easy one to go for. And then outside of that, we just took suggestions, and I set up a Spotify playlist and just kind of like started adding to it. And we were trying to pick the ones that not everybody knew, and we just sort of narrowed it down from there. The only one that we recorded or started recording but didn't feel was up to the snuff was War Is Over by John Lennon. We kind of had started working on that one, and like, these other four are just sounding better. Let's stick with those. we ended up with a list of maybe about 13 songs and just narrowed it down to the five that we were going to do.
Well, it's funny, because that's exactly where I was going to go. I was like, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a list of, kind of like your favorite rock Christmas songs?
Not just rock. It was kind of all genres, just from all-time Christmas songs. Probably mostly rock. We put together a list and kind of like people chimed in. Kay, obviously having to sing them, has to, figure out which one she wants to sing the most. And, just the mood of the band at the time just narrowed it down.
And now the part that's getting a lot of attention on the record is Father Christmas. First of all, it's a great version. I mean, like you said, it's sort of right in that kind of, sort of punk wheelhouse of your music. But, the big thing is the lyric change. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we had recorded the entire song and it was The Weeknd. You know, there was a finished vocal on there, and that following weekend in late July were the shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. And, you know, like everybody else who follows mm-hmm. the news and the extensive coverage of it, and just yet another shooting tragedy. And Greg McKenna kind of brought up, feels kind of weird putting out that there's a lyric in the song for the listener who may not know it,
yeah.
About, you know, asking Santa for a machine gun to scare all the kids in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg was like, doesn't feel right putting that lyric out in this time. And Kay took to Twitter, and we all agreed that that was a problem.
Right.
And Kay took to Twitter and asked the Kinks personally, like, is it okay if we change that lyric? And she never heard back, but she has a vast Twitter following, and they all chimed in, including some suggestions, and there was one of her followers had a kind of the rough idea of what we went with, which was about can you melt down all the machines so the kids are safe in the street.
Now, were you worried about any potential backlash to changing a classic?
No. You know, it's a pretty loving rendition of the song otherwise. We really stayed very faithful to the Kinks version. So I think it would be clear that we weren't doing it out of any disrespect. It was merely just, you know, being sensitive to the world we live in.
And, you know, especially this year, that's not the first time we've seen this. And we've also kind of seen on the news John Legend's change to Baby It's Cold Outside to reflect the times. Do you feel at all that there's a line between, you know, kind of making a statement and censoring and, you know, kind of a gray area somewhere in between there?
Yes, I do think there's a line. I mean, I don't think, like, Huck Finn should be rewritten to take the N-word out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think pop music is, it infiltrates your life in a different way than, say, reading a novel or going to a play would be. Been a lot of talk about Porgy and Bess lately, you know, being racially insensitive in a white man's version of what African-American experience was back then, you know. So I do think, you know, it's certainly worthy of discussion. And I think ultimately if you're the one putting it out, you've got to come to grips with it in the way you can, you know, and what's going to feel good for you. I do know, you know, pop music just seeps in the background of everyday life, whereas if you're going to a play or reading a book, you're taking it in a much different way.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I used to have, like, I do this Christmas show every year. Do you remember The Murmurs?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, so that I do a Christmas show every year with one of the Murmurs, Heather Reed.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And we used to do Baby It's Cold Outside. And we had the joke about how, like, this song is kind of date rapey, and then, like, one year we just kind of stopped doing it. And it was before Me Too, but like now it's, you know, so I think it's good that people are being a little bit more sensitive to what's going on in pop culture and not just taking it as like, oh, well, that's what it is.
Well, and I think the thing too, you know, you mentioned sort of the differences between, you know, literature and music. And I think the difference is with music, both exist. So there is your version with a current lyric, but the Kinks version is still on the radio as well. So it's almost letting the listener decide for themselves which one they're good with.
Right.
You know, I think that's a little bit different than, you know, kind of going through and, you know, changing Huck Finn completely so that, you know, nobody knew the original existed.
Exactly.
You know, but I think it's, I think it's a brave thing to do with a classic like this. You know, especially I think in this song, because the protagonist in the song wouldn't utter that line, but I think, you know, the statement that comes out of it is pretty powerful. So
right. And we're still acknowledging the sentiment of the song.
Right.
About how it, Christmas is a different experience for people of different economic backgrounds, but just trying to be sensitive to the fact that we have a real problem with guns and we don't want to joke about a kid having a machine gun scaring everyone else in the street.
Right. And again, I think the background you just gave about the weekend that you were working on this song really has it make sense. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you guys were at one point working on a full-length record when, you know, you kind of broke to do this. Any chance of seeing that come out anytime soon?
But yeah, we definitely have a should be able to get that out in 2020. we're trying to do this one the old-fashioned way with, like, the last two EPs. I've produced them, and we've just kind of, like, gone in and with the LA3 and recorded and sent the tracks to Boston and had them do their parts, send them back, kind of cull it all together. We're trying to do this next one the old-fashioned way, like have an actual outside producer, be all in the same room, set aside like a month to work on it or however long it would take. And so it's a little bit more difficult, the scheduling and logistics of it, but that is definitely like our goal for 2020 to have that out.
And, you know, going back to the beginning of the band, you know, you guys had the big hit off the first record, Here and Now, and, you know, a lot of soundtrack success. And, you know, like we had mentioned earlier, a lot of it, you know, you guys put out some great covers that really caught on with movies and soundtracks and things like that, and really helped you build up a following. Looking back now, all these years later, how do you see the change in music? Like, have you guys, have you talked about now you're going to go back and record this record sort of, you know, the more traditional way? Have you thought about how you're going to get that music out to people once it's recorded and get people listening? Because a lot of those avenues that were there for bands, you know, back in the 90s just don't exist anymore.
Well, I mean, we've had the two trial runs of Back to Nebraska, and those have both gone pretty well. Our mm-hmm. core fans, thankfully, have stuck with us, and there's this new generation of fans that, like, discovered us through 10 Things I Hate About You or Josie and the Pussycats that never saw us back in the day. They were too young or didn't even know about us until after we had split up. So there's people out there that care and are paying attention to our whatever, social media, and whatever else is going on. So, like, we kind of have a – we're not trying to just break something that no one's ever heard of before, which would be a lot tougher because we have some notoriety. But, you know, we have a publicist who does – hooks us up with people like you and helps get the word out in the newer ways that didn't exist back then when it was just, like, old – you know, the same old magazines and stuff. So there's new avenues that we have access to, and some of the old ones are shut down, but – we'll just, you know, do our best like every other band out there and hope the music cuts through because it speaks for itself.
Yep. And where do you stand on stuff like streaming? I mean, my thought on it is, you know, for a band like yourself, somebody, you know, listening to this or finding your Christmas record that may not know you, now in 2 seconds they could sit there and go through and listen to your whole career right online without having to go to the record store. So, you know, that could be a plus, but on the downside, there's the whole, you know, economics of it. Where do you guys as a band sort of stand on streaming?
It's one of the great miracles of modern technology. Mm-hmm. They, you know, the deal that kind of was cut between the major labels and the technology companies didn't really take musicians trying to make a living into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the best deal. I mean, we're all kind of forced to be stuck with that deal now. If anyone out there cares, Apple Music does better by the songwriters and musicians than Spotify. Those are the two major ones, you know. And I'm not sure where the other ones fit in and out, but I know that Apple Music is the most artist friendly.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
But you know, if you're choosing one, I mean, I'll pick 3 months for free. But no, I think it's great, but I wish we had a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kay is very active in the political action world and actually was a big player in getting the Music Modernization Act passed in Congress, which helps update a lot of the old laws that were made back in the 1930s days of cheap music and, you know, being the big medium of music sales.
Right.
So they've, you know, It's coming along, and hopefully it'll continue to get better. I don't think that Spotify or Apple have any rights to exist with their current business model. So if they're forced to change, they'll have to adapt. I don't think the rest of the world should. Someone else can come along and make it work.
Yeah.
You know? So I like having those as I'm a music teacher as well, and just having access to everything all the time is a nice, convenient thing. And, you know,
yeah, like I said, I mean, it definitely has pros and cons depending on which side of the equation you're looking at.
Yeah, I wish the business model was a little geared towards helping towards musicians and
definitely.
Not technology companies. Mm-hmm. Like they think, I know Spotify specifically, they think that the platform is the product, but the music is actually the product.
Yeah, like, platform doesn't matter if there's nothing to come across there. Yeah.
So that's a little philosophical difference that I have with them. But, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And now you mentioned the November tour. I know you guys are on the road now, and you have some, you know, homecoming shows in Boston coming up. Any other dates that you guys will be looking at as you get into 2020?
We have, a tour booked with some other great bands that's going to happen, but unfortunately I can't announce it yet because the contracts are not signed. But we will be on tour in 2020 for several weeks in as part of a package tour that's going to be killer.
Great. Well, I mean, when that can be announced, definitely shoot me an email. We'll get the dates out to everybody.
Fantastic.
And, again, the EP is called OK Christmas, and it's available on streaming services everywhere.
Also on vinyl at letterpleo.net.
That was going to be my next question. Like, and you guys also have physical product off the website, I assume.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really cool listen. You guys did a great job with those songs and the original as well. And, again, Michael, just – thanks so much for taking the time to do this. Best of luck on the tour in 2020. Again, send the dates over. We'll get it all out when everything's announced. And thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.